Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
What's up, Awaken Church family? Y'all doing good? All right. I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to jump right in. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I want to take a moment and welcome those who are worshiping with us online. If you don't know, we have two campuses, one here in Charleston, one in Somerville. And then I forget sometimes we have people worshiping with us online. I was talking with a guy after the first service. He was driving down from Ohio on vacation. Do not ever cheer for Ohio. we've already told y'all, you're not welcome in this city, right? It's all good. But I was talking to him and he's like, hey, it came last year, you know, we watch every Sunday. And I was like, man, that's cool. But you know, he said, you told me last year I need to find a local church. And he said, hey, I've tried. I can't find one that preaches like y'all. So I don't go to it. I just watch every week. So I said, keep searching, brother. Keep searching for one. Because if you know me, I know that there's a certain power that happens when you get in the presence of God in his house. So I think online church and worshiping online is a good medium for people. Maybe if you're traveling on vacation or you need a word. But man, if you're within the context of a gospel preaching, Jesus loving local church, get there. Because that's where I believe true life and true community is found. So today I want to launch into a series called Freshly Squeezed. We're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit and what it looks like for us to live lives that produce, that show we are followers of Jesus. How do we produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul, the Apostle Paul, really gives us a list of what it looks like to live as a follower of Jesus and to not live as a follower of Jesus. And so I want to read this together. But before I do, I want to give you the goal of the series. The goal of the series is this. For those of us that are Christians, the goal of the series is that we would take a very good look at our lives and ask the question, where am I deficient as a disciple of Jesus? In other words, what parts of my life do not reflect my love for Jesus? And how can I make those better? For the one who's here and you're not a Christian, man, can I just encourage you that everything good you want to see and find out of humanity comes from the person and work of Jesus Christ. Robbie shared earlier, Robbie was praying. And a lot of times when I hear somebody praying, it's the same as if I'm reading scripture. There's just things that jump out. And one of the things that Robbie said in his prayer was that maybe you're here and you're coming back to faith. And I thought to myself, I'm so grateful that we have a God who welcomes us coming back. Amen? Like a God that goes, you know, it doesn't matter where you've gone, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what doubts you have, it doesn't matter. Like, you're always welcome to come back home. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you today, if you're like, hey, I've wandered back to church, or maybe you accepted an invite, let me just encourage you with this reality. We serve a God who's called our Heavenly Father, and his arms are wide open to receive you. And there is nothing you have to do to earn your way back. He has brought you here for a reason and he loves you. And so this morning, if that's where you find yourself and you would say, man, I'm not a Christian, but I'm searching, just know he's been searching for you first. And he's not surprised that you're here. Galatians chapter 5, I want to read this list. Paul says, this is what it looks like to live lives walking in the Spirit. I do think context is important. And what Paul is talking to here, or who he's talking to, is a group of Christians at the church of Galatia in Asia Minor. So it's a small church in the first century. And he writes these words. They were a church that were consumed with the culture. They were living in a culture that was full of drunkenness, full of sexual promiscuity, full of greed, full of idols, full of political division. They were relationally, they were arguing, they were fighting, they were jealous of each other. They didn't forgive each other. Does this sound like anything you live in? All right. This is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Let me just stop right there real quick. What Paul's saying is you got two things at war here. There's the flesh, that's your sinful desires, and there's the spirit, that's a life devoted to Jesus. Paul says these two things are opposite of each other. In other words, if you're here today going, look, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, let me ask you a question. Do you love the things of the flesh or do you love the things of God? That's how you can determine the difference. Because they cannot be in the same place at the same time. Paul says they're contrary to each other. We're still in verse 17. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now, the acts of the flesh, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul gives a pretty exhaustive list. Hey, this is what life looks like apart from Jesus Christ. If you're operating and living out of the flesh, these are the things that you're going to experience. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, another word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Is there anybody here today who would say, I want to live a life that looks more like the Spirit? Anybody? Am I the only one? Come on now. Crowd participation. If you've already arrived, you can leave because you're the only perfect one in the house. Most of us would say, look, I want to live a life that exemplifies the fruit of the Spirit more than what I currently am. In other words, I want to be more loving. I want to be more joyful. I want to show more patience. I want to be more kind to people. I would love to be more gentle, right? I'd love to have more self-control. Like you would say there's elements of this list of the fruit of the Spirit that you want to see more of in your life. And I believe that any mature Christian would say that. We want to grow in this regard. We want to grow and produce lives that look and feel more like the Spirit. However, we live in a world that throws stuff at us all the time and squeezes us. And oftentimes what comes out isn't good. For instance, I got a little illustration I want to show you. I told Robbie this is really heavy. I'm not trying to flex on you. I just didn't want to drop it. Life happens to us. You know this already. Like if I were to say to you, hey, let's say, go back to the day that maybe you gave your life to Jesus and you started following Jesus. If I were to pull you out of the world in that moment, your holiness would probably look pretty good. The reality is most of us, we give our lives to Jesus and we're trying to follow him in a fallen world. And what comes at us a lot of times, we're unprepared for, right? For instance, you would say today, you know what? I want to have self-control. Like I don't want to exhibit fits of rage, which is what is in the list of the flesh. Well, on Monday morning, you get in your car, and if you live in West Ashley, you get on Glenn McConnell. And the kids are going to school. Now, there's signs. There's a sign from Bees Ferry to Glenn McConnell. It says to yield or to merge. People stop. They don't know what to do. There's construction going on. And if you're like me, you get squeezed in that moment, and oftentimes what comes out is not good. Right? My windows are slightly tinted. I've thought about blacked out tint for a reason. And thankfully the windows aren't down so you can't hear what I'm saying, right? Or maybe you have teenagers and you say, hey, can you go clean your room? And it's, yeah, I'll clean my room. And then you go up there a little while longer and the room has not been clean. And in that moment, right, you got a decision to make. Or this is even better, and I know I got teenagers in the room right now. They decide that they're gonna snap back at you whenever you decide to do something. Right? Like, it happens. Or let's maybe you're in this case. Maybe you're watching college football and you just happen to have the number four team in the country in overtime and it's 3rd and 1 and you got one of the best running backs in the nation and you throw a bubble screen instead of running up the middle, right? Like, why would you do that? This is life. Like, in reality, you know, like work, you go to work and you got coworkers that are rude. That happens. Or maybe you're in middle school. How many of y'all in middle school love this when you're walking down the hallway and the person doesn't give a shoulder, right? They just stay solid and they run right into you. Anybody had that happen before, right? This is life. And what happens in life is situations squeeze us. And when we get squeezed, we end up having to drink and others have to drink, which I'm not gonna drink this, whatever comes out. Like the cocktail of emotions and the cocktail of reactions a lot of times when life squeezes us is what we're forced to have to stomach or those around us are forced to have to stomach. And y'all, a lot of times it's just not good. If we're honest, a lot of times it's not good. And you go, well, how do I deal with that? How do I respond? Because at home, I don't want to be quick to react and I don't want to have fits of rage and I don't want to cuss at another driver and I don't want to fight with my spouse and I don't want to get frustrated when something happens financially and there's a bill that comes and like this is life. It happens. And what Paul says here is, look, if you're going to be people that walk by the Spirit of God, the fruit in your life, what comes out of your life is going to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that's a high task, isn't it? Because we also know God's not calling us to be people who are perfect. We're not perfect. But just because we know we're not going to be perfect doesn't mean we don't have pursuit. And so we need to pursue lives that produce more of the Spirit. How do we do that? That's the question. And what I want to do today to kind of set the stage for this series is really just walk through a very simple equation when we start talking about what it means to produce fruit in our lives. Because this equation is important for us to understand. I said this last week, and I'll reiterate it throughout this series. You can't will your way to good work. You can't force yourself to bear fruit. It has to be something that comes by the work of the Spirit in your life. And to understand that, we have to understand this equation, and it's very simple. It's the gardener, it's the seed, it's the soil, and then it's the fruit. If you're taking notes, you can write those four things down. They're constant. There's the gardener, there's the seed, there's the soil, and there's the fruit. And we'll start with the gardener because this is really important. When it comes to bearing fruit in our lives, God himself is the gardener. God is the gardener who plants, who waters, and who gives the growth. In John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's about to go to the cross, where on the cross he would die for the sins of all of humanity. He'd be placed in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's telling them what it looks like to live a life that's gonna have impact. A life that's gonna bear fruit, a life that people will look at. And Jesus goes, by your fruit, people will know that you're my disciples. Which, by the way, the same thing remains true for us today. What comes out of our lives determine what people think about our life. In other words, if you're bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, people will say, okay, well, that's a follower of Jesus. And if you're not, they won't say those things. Jesus looks at him and says, I want you to bear fruit and I want you to bear much fruit. And the only way for you to do that is for you to remain in me, stay close to me. But the way he starts that passage in John 15, 1 is this. God is the gardener. My Father is the gardener, is what he says. In other words, if today you decided, I'm gonna plant a garden in my backyard. And let's say you walked outside and off the porch and into the grass and you decided, hey, that the back left quadrant is where I'm gonna plant a garden. Like you would cut up the grass and you would till up the soil and you would remove whatever's in there. You might put in potting soil. You might build you a wall around the area. And then you would choose to plant whatever you wanted to plant in there because it's your garden. Well, church, can I just remind you today that this is God's garden. And by this, I mean your life. Like God is the gardener of your life, which means he's in control of all of it. And that perspective takes a lot of pressure off of us. In other words, you may be here today going, look, I strayed away from the faith for a reason. Can I just tell you, God allowed that to happen? He's allowed everything in your life to take place to get you to this moment. He's orchestrated all of it. He's the one that's brought you into this church on this Sunday, in this city, in this time, and in this season. God did that. I was talking to a pastor last week, and he just so happened to deliver great and encouraging news to me that we're living at a time where there's never been more rapid decline in the life of the church in Western society. In other words, more churches are closing every year than they are opening. More people are walking away from the faith every year than they are coming to faith. And I know that seems really dismal, but this pastor looked at me and he said, you know, I'm so thankful that God would choose to put me at the post of being a pastor during this period of time in human history. Like, I can pray to that end. And I thought to myself, I don't think about things that way all the time, and I should. How amazing is it that God would choose in this season, at this time, in this city to go, Brandon, I'm posting you up as a pastor in a local church, and I'm gonna surround you with people that believe me for greater things and greater days for the city of Charleston, right? Like, what a privilege that God would do that. Can I just tell you that in your life, whatever has happened and whatever is happening right now, God's in control of it. God's brought you here. God's preparing you to receive whatever it is that he delivers to you in this season. And y'all, that's good news, by the way. We want God to be the gardener in our lives. He's lined it all up. He owns the field. He's planting the seed. Nothing starts and nothing comes to fruition without God being in charge of it. That's why you'll hear me say all the time, anything good that comes out of my life is not from me. And any believer would tell you the same thing. Anybody in their own strength can't produce anything good. Nothing that will last has to come from God himself. God's the gardener. Second thing is this, the seed is the gospel. So we got the gardener, and then we got the seed. The seed is the gospel. You go, well, what's the gospel? And this is really important to discuss, especially in our Western church culture, because the gospel has gotten so convoluted and watered down. Like, the gospel literally means this: good news. What's the good news? The good news is not give your life to Jesus and you'll be more prosperous. The good news is not go to church and you'll make more money. The good news is not go to church and you'll meet a spouse, though you might. The good news is not do this for God and God will do this for you. The good news is that we were dead in our sin, but God, being rich in mercy, sent Jesus to die on our behalf, and he rose from the dead. And when we trust and believe in that finished work of Jesus Christ, we're saved. That's the good news of the gospel. And God says, look, if you're gonna bear fruit in your life, you have to receive that seed, because that seed is the seed of salvation, where everything starts. Like, I want you to think about this. Imagine right here, imagine there's just like a field of dirt and these seeds being dropped in. Well, the seeds that take in that field are gonna start producing a crop. I know this seems elementary, but we have to understand agriculture. And what Jesus says is that when that seed gets delivered and dropped into your life, it becomes a plant that sprouts up and eventually becomes this vine. And Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branches are what produce fruit. In other words, as the seed of salvation takes root in our lives, the vine of Jesus begins to grow and build up out of our lives. That's why in Colossians 2:7, Paul says this to the church. He says, look, since then you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. What's that mean? It means that when you give your life to Jesus and you receive the seed of the gospel into your life, Jesus begins to grow up out of your life. In other words, this vine, like, imagine, like, I can't help but talk about Jesus. Like, I can't, anything good that I get in life, I have to credit Jesus. It's this vine that grows up. That's why a good litmus test for every single one of us, when people look at our lives, do they ask the question, man, like, that person's talking about Jesus. That marriage is centered on Jesus. That businessman, man, his business practices like model Jesus. That church, man, they talk and sing a lot about Jesus. Like, that's the things that we would want said of us. Like, in other words, if you live life, if you go through life, and the people that are close to you wouldn't say, man, I don't ever really hear them reference Jesus. Like, I don't hear him pray. I don't hear him talk about church. If the vine is not growing up in our lives, we have to ask the question, has the seed taken root? If the vine is not growing up, in other words, if Jesus is not expanding in our life as the vine, we have to beg the question, has the seed taken root? Because Jesus promised y'all, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will produce much fruit. Seeds, the gospel. Third thing is this, the soil is your life. The soil is your life. Now, three out of these four pieces you have no control over. I have no control over, right? God's the gardener, it's all on him. Seeds, the gospel, I don't get to change the seed, right? The seed's the same. What we'll talk about in just a minute is the fruit that comes by the Spirit. But the soil, y'all, the soil is on us. The soil is our life and it's our responsibility. That's why I want to camp here for just a moment. If you know me, those that work alongside me, my family will say this as well. I'm really big on like ownership. So like if I mess up, I'm gonna try my best to own it. My expectation would be that others around me do the same. So I'm really hoping the coaching staff at Clemson owns some of the decisions they've made and decide to use the transfer portal and other things. But I think whenever we have the opportunity to affect change or to do something, especially spiritually, we should. And most of what we talk about spiritually, it's God's doing the work, Spirit's doing the work. It's on him. This part is on us. Because the soil that we find Jesus talking about is our hearts and it's our lives. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is talking to a crowd and he tells what's known as the parable of the sower. And he equates the gospel message going out as seeds that get thrown out in different places. And he says, look, there's four places. This is Jesus, not my words. These are Jesus' words. There's four places that the seed lands. Four types of ground that it lands on. And so the first one, he says, some seed goes out and it lands on a path. So they didn't have asphalt or concrete, but I want you to imagine a well-worn dirt path in Jesus' first century Israel. And he says, on that path, it would be very similar to this platform right here. It's just hard ground or the concrete on which you're standing. And he says, when the seed hits that concrete or hits that hard path, nothing happens. It can't take root. Like it's been too hardened or too calloused. And what Jesus says is like that person, the person whose soil is like that hard path, man, that's just somebody that's just hardened toward the things of God. Like not willing to receive, not willing to hear, just I don't want anything to do with it. And y'all, we probably all know somebody that's like that. That's one type of soil. The second type of soil Jesus talks about is soil that gets tossed out and there's rocks all in the soil, like rocky soil. Where happens, like, if you've ever planted seeds in a garden and you just imagine rocks and bark and other things that are in there, the seed can't really take root. Why? Because there's all these obstacles that are in the way. Jesus says that's the second type of soil that exists, which makes me ask the question, what are the rocks? What's the stuff? What are the contaminants in the soil in my life that keep the gospel from taking root? Can I offer a couple? There's the rock of busyness. You can be so busy, so calendared, so crazy, so frantic, so the pace is so nuts that like you can't even pay attention to what God's trying to do in your life. There's the rock of busyness. There can be the rock of just unforgiveness, like just bitterness and unforgiveness in your life. Like the gospel can't grow up where there's unforgiveness and bitterness. In fact, the fruit of the Holy Spirit can't exist where there's unforgiveness. That's why he brings conviction that brings us to forgiveness. Another rock that exists is just doubts and discouragements. You can be so discouraged, have so many doubts that you don't deal with, and they prevent this growth from actually taking place in your life. Sin, just active sin in your life is a rock, right? that's just persistent and doesn't allow this to take root, this is where we have to take responsibilities and go, okay, what do I need to do in the soil in my life to clear this out so the seed of the gospel can actually take root? That's the second type of soil. Third type of soil, Jesus says, look, there's seeds that get planted, they start to sprout, but then the thorns choke it out. The thorns choke it out. Got any thorny people in the room? Thorns of anxiety, thorns of depression, thorns of worry, thorns of control, right? This is when life happens, it's the thorns that choke out the life that comes by the Spirit. Jesus says, you gotta do something with that. You need to cut those things back, cut it away, so that we can get the fourth type of soil that Jesus talks about, which is good soil. Good soil is when you drop seed in there, it takes root and it's watered and it begins to sprout. And for all of us, our goal should be, how do we create lives? Like, how do we get our hearts to a place where we are good soil? Where when God throws seeds in our life, they can land and they can take root and they can start to grow. Y'all, this is not easy. I know the equation may seem simple, but the work to do this is hard. Like the work to get rocks out of your soil or thorns out of your soil, man, it may take a lot of prayer, it may take a lot of counsel. Like that, but it's worth it. And this is where you have to take responsibility over what God wants to do in your life. Jesus said, look, I'm throwing seeds out all the time. It's like you come to church right here. We're in church today. And God's dropping seeds right now. But for some of us, if we're honest, the worry of what's after this, or the frustration of what happened last Friday, or the stress of what's coming on Tuesday, doesn't even allow us to think about what he's trying to teach us right now. And I want to encourage you now and throughout this whole series. When you come to church on Sunday, think about it like this. When you're driving down 526, you pull off on the Leeds Avenue exit, or if you're rolling up on Cane Bay High School coming down State Road, I want you to think about this. What do I need to pull out of the soil of my heart right now so that God can speak to me in this service? Man, when you roll up to small group on Tuesday night or Thursday, like as you go to small group, the students, this is for you too. I mean, I had eighth and ninth grade girls in my house. I am not their small group leader, praise God. But my wife is, her and Bailey. And when you pull up to small group, like ask the question, this is for teenagers and it's for those in their 70s. Ask the question, like, what do I need to pull out right now so God can speak to me in this circle tonight? Because I just believe that so many times we come in so cluttered and so busy and so broken and we can't even hear from him. Let's do the work. Let's do the work before we get here. Man, I want to hear from you, God. And it doesn't have to be a service or a small group. It can be your Bible on Monday morning in your living room. But can I just encourage all of us to do the work of just examining our hearts before we try to hear from God and remove whatever's in the way? God's the gardener, seed's the gospel, soil is your life, and lastly, the fruit is just what flows out of your life. The fruit is what flows. Now, we in our backyard, we have a blackberry bush or vine. Anybody know if it's a bush or a vine? Anybody know? Good, we're in this together. I'm ignorant. I know right now that thing's rolling, it's growing along my fence and I built a trellis to try to hold it up because I desperately want this thing to produce blackberries. We were gifted this starter plant from another family, my buddy Jeff. They have a lot of blackberries and he's like, look, you can't kill it, just plant it. Time will tell how true that is. But right now that thing's crawling up the fence. It has not produced a lot of blackberries. I know it's not really in season. And one of the things I would love to do is be able to walk out there and look at this blackberry, whatever it is, and force it to grow. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I could just walk out there and be like, produce now, how awesome would that be, right? Or like, no matter how much I like pray over it and lay hands on it and like stress, like it's gonna take time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not weird like that. Like, if y'all drive down St. Hubert and you're like, dude's praying over his fence, I'm asking for blackberries, okay? Please, God, I'm putting you to the test. It was crazy. I've been to like apple orchards in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Those trees don't stress. Apples just flow out of those things, right? You ever see vineyards, grapes, they just flow off the trellis. They're not working. It just comes, right? Like, if you've ever been to Florida, you've seen orange trees. They just flourish. Right? Fruit just flows through the process. Here's what I want you to hear me say. Sometimes in the Christian life, I'm so guilty of this, and I know you are too. We go, man, I've got to work really hard to be kind. I've got to be really joyful. God, I'm going to be more loving, right? I'm going to show more self-control. And that'll only get you so far. Listen, I can't tell you the number of times I've gone to one of my kids' games, whether they're 7 years old or 16 years old, and I'm like, Ashley, I'm sitting on my hands and I'm not saying nothing. I'm just going to watch. I can't. Like, I don't have self-control, you know? I'm like, I'm going to try to be more self-control. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Jesus said, if we'll just abide in him, that's walking by the Spirit, by the way. We believe in the Trinity. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That as we abide in Jesus, in other words, as I follow Jesus, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit because it's the same God. And as I'm filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, following the example of Jesus, fruit is what flows out of my life. I don't have to work for it. That's why if you find a more seasoned believer, that's a nice way of saying older. Like I think about my mom, which she's young at heart, but mom's older. She's been walking with Jesus for quite some time. By far one of the most generous people I know. One of the kindest people I know. One of the most loving people I know. Joyful despite circumstance that I know. Gentle, right? How do these things, how is she that way? Can I just tell you? She's just walking with the Spirit of God. It's just coming out of her. She doesn't wake up and go, okay, I gotta do this morning. Nope. She's going, okay, God, it's another day. Fill me with your Spirit. I'm gonna live according to your word. And so out of her life, what happens? Fruit flows out of her life. That's why there's stories on stories on stories. She's at our Somerville campus, but I'm telling you, there's people who have been engaged with the church and have met Jesus and have benefited from her generosity and her kindness and her joy and her love and her patience. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit flows out of her life. It becomes a byproduct of how you live. You don't have to work for it anymore. And listen, that may be the ticket that some of you came here for today. You're like, man, I've been working so hard. I've been trying so hard. I got to make all these changes. And what God may be saying to you today is stop trying so hard and just start trusting me. Like stop working so hard and just trust me because it's my work, not yours. Yeah, you got to do the work of cleaning out your soil and confessing your sin and harboring unforgiveness. And you need to work on some of the clutter, but the work of actually producing fruit, that's my job. So just surrender your life to me. Let me do what I do. As we close up, I want to pray for us. And our time of response this morning is going to be really simple. Like for some of you, your response this morning is you're going, you know what? For the first time, I'm realizing God is the gardener of my life. And he has brought me into this place today to receive the seed of the gospel, to give my life to him. And today, that's what I want to do. And man, if that's you today, I want to thank you and encourage you to let somebody know that decision that you're making. But for most of the room, probably where you are is, you know what? I've got to do some work in the soil of my life. I got to pull some rocks out. I got to pull some thorns out. And maybe today during the time of response, you seek out somebody on our prayer team and you go, man, I just need prayer over this area. I need prayer for this rock. I need prayer for this whatever's in my soil. I need prayer over that today and I'm laying that down. I want to invite you not to hold that to yourself, but to share that with a prayer team member. And I also want to issue this call for you, church. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't want to pray with a prayer team member. I just want to pray. Y'all, this is an altar that is wide open. And at any point in the service, you can come down and pray. And if you try to get intercepted by a prayer team member, just be like, it's okay. And just drop to your knees and just pray before the Lord. Jesus said it. Jesus said, look, I want my Father's house to be a house of prayer. And so today, the worst thing that we could do is come in and out of this place and not spend time praying before God. And so what I'm gonna do is pray for us, and then I'm gonna invite you to stand to your feet. We're gonna worship, and then give space for the Holy Spirit to lead us in response. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that the work is yours. God, that you plant and you water and you give the growth. And the fruit that we're all looking for comes from a life fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So God, this morning, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, I pray this morning, God, they would give their lives to you. They would start a relationship with you. They would realize that's the greatest journey they could ever experience. Today, they would start a relationship with you. And God, for the rest of the room that would say that they know you and they would call themselves a Christian, Lord, this morning, I pray you would just help us examine the soil of our life and to pull out what doesn't need to be there. And over the next couple of moments, as there's prayers of confession of sin, God, prayers of desperate cries for peace and for joy. Lord, as our prayer team is lined up and they receive people who are maybe in some instances asking for prayer and they don't even know what for. They just need your presence. God, I pray that you would just speak through our prayer team. You empower them and give them your words, words of your spirit, speak over your people this morning so that true ministry can take place. So God, we just offer this time up to you. We pray, God, that we'd move freely and that you would bring us into alignment with who you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you stand to your feet?